Good afternoon. Welcome, and thank you for joining today's webinar hosted by the National Long-Term Care Ombudsman Resource Center. My name is Lori Smetanka, and I am the director of the center. As you just heard, today's webinar is being recorded. The purpose of today's webinar is to reintroduce an important resource, the Self-Evaluation and Continuous Quality Improvement Tool for state and local ombudsman programs. These self-evaluation tools, there's one designed for state ombudsman programs and one for local ombudsman programs, were developed a few years ago by the National Ombudsman Resource Center in conjunction with advisory committees consisting of both state and local ombudsmen. The goal of the instruments is to provide ombudsman programs with a tool for assessing their own programs. The instrument identifies the components and elements within that components, or what we call indicators, that must be present in order to have a strong, effective ombudsman program. The self-evaluation tool is designed to give each ombudsman knowledge about what his or her program is doing well and where it needs to be improved. To facilitate usability of the full tool, the Ombudsman Resource Center has also recently developed a mini version of the tool, which allows for a quick overview of each component. During today's webinar, the presenters will review using both the full tool and the mini tool, and a current state and local ombudsman will each share their experiences in using the evaluation tools in their programs. There will be time for questions and discussion at the end. I will now introduce our first presenter, Robin Grant, who is the Director of Advocacy and Outreach for the National Consumer Voice for Quality Long-Term Care. Robin led the project in the development of the self-evaluation tools when she was a consultant for the National Ombudsman Resource Center. Robin, I am going to turn it over to you, and if you hit star 7, please, to unmute your line, and we'll begin with the presentation.
Okay. Thank you, Lori, and I also want to just thank everybody for the opportunity to be part of this webinar. This tool is very near and dear to my heart, so I'm delighted to talk with you all about it today. In this first part of the webinar, I want to orient you to the tool and instruct you very briefly on how to use it. Next slide. So let's start with talking about the purpose of this tool. And as Lori indicated, its purpose is to help ombudsmen improve the effectiveness of their program. But the program, as everybody, I think, knows, is so complex that it's really almost impossible for any one person to be aware of all the elements that should be present in an effective program. So the tool is designed to lay out in one place all the elements that research and years of ombudsman practice and experience have identified as being essential for effectiveness. So as a result, a lot of the tool consists of standards to strive for, and the bar for those standards is very high because strong, effective ombudsman programs meet really high standards. So the big picture purpose of the tool is to help your program move toward becoming the very best program it can be. And on a day-to-day practical level, the purpose of the tool is to help you identify areas where your state or local program is strong and areas where you need to improve and strengthen your program. Next slide, please. Now, let me take a moment and tell you what the purpose of the tool is not. The purpose of the tool is not to evaluate your performance as a state or local ombudsman, and is not to evaluate or monitor your program. You know, you could be the most amazing state or local ombudsman that has ever advocated on the face of the earth, yet certain parts of your program may not be strong at all because you're up against tremendous barriers that you just can't overcome. That doesn't mean you're not doing a good job. So the fact that the tool is not to be used to evaluate the program or the performance of an ombudsman is in fact so important that there's actually a special message at the beginning of the tool from the Administration on Aging that says exactly that. So as I said, the bar is very high in this tool, and few, in fact, if any, programs are going to excel at everything. The goal is not perfection. The goal is improvement. So the purpose of the tool is to help you assess your program and to give you constructive and useful information to guide you in managing and strengthening your program. The rating results are for your use only and are absolutely not intended to be compared from one program to another. And that's why there's no passing score nor a national average. So now that you know why the tool was created, I want to take a moment to give you a brief overview of it and how it's set up and organized. As you can see from this slide, the tool consists of 13 global components. These components aren't listed in any order of priority, and no weight has been assigned to them, which means that no one component is considered more important than another. Each of these components is a standalone section so that you can complete it all by itself without having to work with the rest of the document. And trust me, this is very important for your sanity. And I'm sure anybody who's completed this tool would tell you that it's really critical that you don't do the whole thing all at once. Within each component, there are indicators, as Lori had mentioned. And these indicators are the essential elements that have been identified as being part of an effective program. The number of indicators varies from one component to another. And just as with the components, the indicators are not listed in any priority, nor is one considered more important than another. So you've got the components, you've got the indicators. The next question is, how do you improve your program using the tool? Well, you begin by evaluating your program. And I think the best way to explain how to do this is probably to take one of the components and work our way through it. So to do this, we've selected component number 3. That's the complaint handling component to focus on. Next slide, please. The complaint handling component has a total of 23 indicators, and what you see in this slide is the first page of the complaint handling component. So you assess your program by going through and rating each of the indicators using the 1 to 5 scale you see at the top of the page, with 1 being never and 5 being always. But the numbers 1 to 5 can also have a couple of other meanings, and in the tool you will find definitions and guidance that explain how else the ratings can be interpreted. So you work your way through the component and rate each indicator. And to give you a feel for this, let's walk through the first 3 indicators together. The first indicator says the type of work conducted by the program is consistent with the role of a resident advocate and is distinct and separate from the duties of other entities, such as the regulatory agency, adult protective services, or the nursing facility. So you consider your program and decide that ombudsmen mostly do this, but not always. So you give it a 4. The second indicator states there are clear policies consistent with the Older Americans Act mandates regarding if and when ombudsmen and ombudsman assistants who visit residents report suspected abuse and neglect. This indicator is actually probably best answered by saying yes or no, which is one of the ways that you can reuse the ratings. So if you decide that your policies reflect the Older Americans Act mandates, you would rate this as a 5, 5 being yes and 1 being no. Let me just say a really quick word before we move on about this term ombudsman assistant. In the tool, this term is used to describe a person, could be a paid staff person or volunteer who carries out some of the ombudsman duties under the Older Americans Act, but who does not investigate or handle complaints in any way. Some programs call these folks friendly visitors. The term varies, but the key here is that the person does not investigate complaints. So the next indicator, number three, states that ombudsmen are given clear guidance and training about how to handle the following situations. And then you can see that there are a number of subparts to this indicator. When there are subparts, you want to come up with one global rating for the entire indicator. But there are a couple of ways you can do it. You can decide roughly where your program falls with these subparts on a scale of 1 to 5, or you can rate each subpart and then come up with the average score. However you choose to do it, it's completely up to you. In this instance, let's just say you decide to look at the subparts globally and decide that ombudsmen have sometimes received guidance and training on these subparts, so you rate this as a 3. So you go on like that through the component and rate the remaining 20 indicators. Next slide, please. So as you're working your way through the indicators, if something comes to mind, pops into your head about an indicator, you can jot that down on a page that you'll find at the end of each component where it says notes/general comments about. And in this case, it says about complaint handling, but it would be whatever the component is that you're working on. So on this slide, you see an example of a thought that might occur to you when you are thinking about indicator 19, which have to do with ombudsmen following up on complaints that are referred to another agency. On this slide, you can also see at the top where you total up your score. So the best way to do this for the component is to simply count up the total number of ones, the total number of twos you have, and so on. Next slide, please. So let's say that you've counted everything up, and as you can see from the slide, you've determined that you have 4 ones, 5 twos, 7 threes, 4 fours, and 4 fives. Now what do you do? So I think that the first thing you should do is the happy dance. You should congratulate yourself on all the areas in which you gave your program a 4 or 5. You need to celebrate your successes because these are areas where you believe your program is strong and you should be very proud of that. That's really important. And you only turn to the indicators that rate lower after you've done the happy dance. So next, you turn and look at the ones that you really have indicated are, you know, ones or twos perhaps, and focus on them. So in this case, you have 4 ones and 5 twos within the complaint handling component. Now, I usually recommend that you start by working on your ones, but there's nothing that says you have to do it that way. Some programs may not have any ones and may start with their threes. But let's just say that you do decide to focus on the indicators with ratings of 1. Next slide, please. So here are the indicators that you rated with a 1. You can choose to work on all 4 of these if you want at the same time, or you can choose a certain number to focus on first. It depends on how difficult the indicators are, your program's capacity, whatever. It's your decision how many you want to work on at once. In our example, let's say that you choose to work on 3 indicators. You're going to work on indicator number 4, number 19, and number 20, and you're going to start with number 19, which you rated as a 1 because your review of cases found that there's only follow-up on 15% of the complaints that your program has referred to another agency. And you're really concerned about that and want to focus your energy and attention on improving that percentage. So at this point in the process, you've now finished evaluating your program, which I said earlier is the first part of improving your program using this tool. So you're now ready for the second part, which is analyzing your program's weaknesses and developing a plan for improvement. Next slide, please. So the section called areas of difficulty that you find at the end of each component helps you with your analysis. You're directed to start by identifying the reasons why you're having difficulty with this indicator. In our example, let's say you determine there are two reasons why there isn't good follow-up. First, because ombudsmen feel like the case is done when they refer it and often just don't remember to follow up with the agency. And second, because follow-up is often hard to get from other agencies. So even if ombudsmen do follow up, they may not get a response. You then identify the factors affecting this indicator over which you have control. So you do have control over remembering to do follow-up, and you also identify the factors over which you have no control, and that would certainly be getting responses back from other agencies. There's only so much you can do to make that happen. So now you've really sort of thought about what's causing this problem. And the next step is you want to create a specific plan for addressing the problem that you've identified as being something you can do something about. Next slide, please. As you can see in this slide, your plan for improvement just kind of looks an awful lot like a care plan. You want to state the goal, determine and specify the exact steps that your program is going to take, who's going to be responsible for those steps, and your time frame for getting those steps done. So this slide shows you what your plan for improvement to address the issue of forgetting to follow up on a complaint referral might look like. Once you've created the plan, the next step, of course, is to put it into action and implement it. Then at the end of your designated time frame, you go back, you rate the indicator again, and you see if your score has improved to your satisfaction. If it has, you do that happy dance again, and you can move on to another indicator or an entirely different component if you want. If it hasn't, you reevaluate, reassess, and try something different. So what you're doing here is continuous quality improvement. Next slide, please. Some of you may have heard of the PDSA cycle. You certainly hear about it a fair amount in culture change work. It's Plan, Do, Study, Act, and it's often part of the continuous quality improvement process. Planning involves setting the goal you want to achieve, figuring out how you're going to accomplish it. Doing means implementing your plan change, trying it out. Studying means you step back, you look at your results, you see if you accomplished your goal. If you did, you determine what you're going to do for the next cycle, and you move on. And if you didn't, you decide what modifications you need and then start again. So that's exactly what you're doing here. You're constantly working to improve your program bit by bit, indicator by indicator. And as you do this, your program will become increasingly effective. So I'm going to turn it back over to you, Amity.
Thank you, Robin. This is Amity Overall-Lade, Manager of Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program and Policy for NORC. And I would like to introduce Victor Awarsha, State Ombudsman for Delaware. Victor will share his perspective as a state ombudsman that has used this tool. Victor, to unmute your line, please use star 7.
Hello.
Hi, I can hear you. Thank you.
Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. Yes, let me briefly state that I will be speaking from the perspective of a state long-term care ombudsman. In Delaware, all of us are state employees. There are about five people in the same building with me, so I get to see them four, five, six times a day. I go into their offices, they come into mine, and there are two people about 83 miles away. I travel down there once or twice a week or once every other week. So, again, so just to give you an idea how we operate in Delaware, we do not have local ombudsmen, so I will be speaking from that perspective. Why did we elect to use this document? I believe for any effective program, you need to assess your program on a consistent basis. It is very, very important. You need to be able to understand where you are in relationship to where you want to go. That is very, very crucial. And, you know, how do we come about this this tool? I'm one of those who lives on the website of our Resource Center. And, you know, so I ran into the tool, and I felt I needed to champion it, pass it on to our folks, and see what we could do. The tool is a great tool for program improvement. What it does is, you know, it gives you all the, you know, some of the things that Robin has eloquently stated. It gives you all the components. It gives you all the indicators. It is a guide. You know, basically, it holds your hands in terms of how do you do it, and you know what are some of the things you need to do when you run into challenges and things of that nature. And one of the things that the tool has done for us also is, you know, an ability to be able to put information together. You know, you assess each component, and you come up with your result, and then the ability to be able to put information, your story together in terms of what do we need to do. It's a tool that helped us to, you know, improve, you know, to assess, you know, our program needs and determine how we want to focus our resources, you know. Along the line, we realized that we didn't have a volunteer services coordinator. That was also impacting our services to our volunteers, you know, recruitment, retention, et cetera, et cetera. And then also, at a point, we needed to come together and look at, okay, well, what do we really need to do to be able to turn that thing around? This is a tool also that, you know, helps with program efficiency. Are we being smart in the way we're doing things? Are we being wasteful? There are things we used to do in the past, you know, in light of today's cost containment and things of that nature, you know, do we need to do things differently to be able to get better results? So in other words, are we being efficient? You know, and if you look at this tool, it leads you in that direction. Is our program being effective? What do I mean by that? Are we delivering the results that AOA expects us to deliver? And so when you look at this tool, the components and indicators, the people who put it together, Robin and Co., they did a wonderful job, you know, in putting this thing together. So basically, you can simply sit down and then, you know, and it leads you in the direction of, you know, effectiveness. This tool also helped us to assess our constraints and challenges, because some of the challenges that we had, once we were able to go through all the components and indicators, it was very clear to us that, okay, these are some of the areas that, you know, where we had the gaps. And, you know, it's one of those tools that, you know, like Robin said, you don't have to do everything at once. You can simply be selective in terms of, okay, these are the areas where we are having challenges at this point. Let us concentrate. Let us focus on those areas. And again, it is a tool that helps you to tell the story of the program. Because you can look at your results and, you know, make choices in terms of, you know, how do we want to engage our resources. Next slide, please. Okay, and how do we use this tool? Again, remember, this is a state entity. We see each other, you know, very so often. And one of the things we do very well is, okay, we have a staff meeting every 4 or 5 weeks. So it's, you know, emails, you know, walking into their offices, they come into mine, the 183 miles away, you know, emails every day, you know, we talk on the phone every day. So how do we do this? it was a two-step approach. The use of the tool was the first, and then the follow-up with the staff. Some of the things we did, over a three-month period, we had three meetings, a meeting each month, and then, you know, every month, you know, we didn't do all the components. You know, we went from maybe 1 to 4, 1 to 5, and then, you know, all the challenges, you know, we had all the scores and everything. And then the following meeting, we went to some again. And, but one thing good about it was there was an opportunity for input from staff. I think everybody got a better understanding of how they fit into the entire role. It's not as if, you know, one person is more important than the other. You know, every input it was and continues to be valuable. It's not, you know, so, you know, somebody downstate, somebody upstate, you know. So everybody really got to understand how they really fit into the entire program. And then we all jointly developed the action items, you know, for all the components, you know. We proceeded by assigning a score to all the components, and then we developed a one-page document. What the one-page document does is, again, it tells our story also. Because, you know, it's a signature. You can simply look at it and see where the organization is. And it's one of those things that, okay, a document that I share with my boss, the director of the organization, that, okay, this is where we are. We have a leadership team meeting, you know, every 2 weeks, you know. So, again, this, and I can take information about the program to leadership team meeting. And then, more importantly, we develop a scorecard. A scorecard about, you know, some of the items that we want to be rated on based on AOA mandate, and, you know, what is the goal, what are the actual, and we talk about all these things on a monthly basis at the staff meeting. Next slide, please. Okay. What are the strength of the tool? I think first and foremost, the flexibility. As a state ombudsman, you know, I can use the tool independently. I can use it, you know, with the entire group, which we did over here. We could review one component, and we could elect to, you know, use several components at a time. Again, if you look at our approach here, we did about 4 or 5 components, at each meeting. And I think this tool is also a learning tool, you know, that can be used by new or experienced ombudsman, because it's how to document, how to do it, what you need to do, what you need to look for, you know. So it is a great tool. It is very, very flexible. And, you know, the strength of the tool, again, is, it lists all the program mandates that are applicable to each component. It identifies them for you. So really, we really didn't need to do much brainstorming, because it was just right in front of us there. If you look at the components also, the program access, contacting the program, you know, each component also has, just like Robin said, you know, it's got the corresponding space, you know, where you can list your scores, and then you can list all the challenges, and then the action plans, you know. So again, it is an all-inclusive document. You know, you don't have to write something here, write something there. Everything you need, you can put into that document. And then when you come back again, you come back next month, you come back 6 months from now, all the information you need are all, included in the document. This assessment tool is comprehensive, because, you know, it addresses all the responsibilities of, you know, all our responsibilities, let me put it that way. It is very, very comprehensive, you know. It's not left anything out. Next slide, please. Okay, the tool is very clear. It is concise. And again, like I said, it is a direct guidance. And I cannot overemphasize that, okay, it is very, very direct. It is a guidance. It is a guide. It tells you, you know, it shows you, you know, what to do, what to look for, and things of that nature, you know. And when I look at, an example is, you know, program management on page number 14. it tells us that, okay, well, in order to have an effective program management, you have to have a strong, ongoing two-way communication between the central office and the local office, as well as between local ombudsmen and, you know, throughout the state. Again, it is telling us, again, these are the things we need to have within the program to be able to have, you know, a very, very effective program. Again, when I look at complaint handling on page number 24 that, you know, Robin touched upon again, you know, you've got to have clear guidance and training about how to handle the following situations. And then again, you're looking at about five scenarios there, five great scenarios. You know, so again, it is, you know, just a, it is a great learning tool. And again, you know, training, you know, pages 33 to 39, it details things that, you know, a good program must have. Next slide, please. Okay, what are some of the benefits, you know, from our perspective? And I think what we did is identified exemplary practices, you know, for maximum program effectiveness. And let me link this to the primer from Nashua, you know, page 10. Okay, you've got the exemplary practices, essential practices, on acceptable practices, you know, exemplary in terms of knowledge, in terms of training, in terms of regulations and things of that nature. This tool gives you all that information. So, you know, I love it. I love the tool. Another benefit is it improved buying from staff, because each realized all of a sudden that, okay, they don't exist in isolation. Whatever they do impacts the program as well, you know. And, you know, it really, you know, enjoyed that team spirit. It improved communication with everybody, and the output became a reporting tool for the divisional leadership. Like I indicated earlier, I share this with our leadership, you know, when I go to the meetings, you know, this is where we are, this is how we are performing, and things of that nature. And then again, it is a reporting tool to the staff also, because we've got that one page, we've got that scorecard. So, you know, again, it's, you know, that we share. Next tool, please. Okay, lessons learned from self-evaluation. This tool identifies performance gaps. And, you know, and we did it jointly, and then we were able to jointly, you know, come up with resolutions, you know, and then, you know, the actions that we needed to take to be able to resolve the problems, you know. Another lesson is that we realize that everyone has a role in the overall mission and performance of the program. No one exists in isolation. Everybody has a role. It's like, you know, the weakest link. So everybody has to be a pretty strong link for the organization to perform at the level that, you know, we needed to be at. We also learned that we need to clearly define the job expectations. You know, you can't simply leave it for people to fill in the gaps. We need to be specific. We need to be concise. We need to be clear. Very, very, very important. We also learned that we identify where resources should be focused. I alluded to the fact that we didn't have a volunteer services coordinator for about 2.5 years. Okay, that impacted, you know, the recruitment and retention. Okay, so what do? We looked at it. We saw the score. We were able to go to the director because we needed to justify that, folks. And, you know, the hiring freeze was really impacting us. But one thing we were able to do was to say, listen, folks, we are not allowed to hire at this point, but what else could we have done within, you know, inside the group? So we elected to have two ombudsmen who incorporated the duties of a volunteer services coordinator into their own assignments. So we were able to turn the corner to a degree, but it was very helpful and it was fruitful. One of the other things we learned was the current state of the program versus the desired state. Again, for any effective program, you simply have to understand where you are at any particular time and then where you need to go. Okay, if you look at that concept that, you know, Robin alluded to, the plan, do, review, in things of that nature, you must constantly review the program. And lastly, I think, you know, this tool is a wonderful quality assurance program. You know, it tells you, at least it asks you a question, are you doing what you're supposed to do? It's a great quality assurance, you know, tool. You know, that's all I have until the question time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Victor.
Okay.
To mute your line, you can hit *6.
Okay.
Now I would like to invite Shannon Gimble, Ombudsman Program Manager for DR or Dr. Cog in Colorado, to share her perspective as a local ombudsman that's used this tool. Shannon, please use *7 to unmute your line.
Hi, Amity. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. Hello, everybody, and thank you for giving our program the opportunity to show how we decided to use this tool to benefit our program. So the reasons that we use the tool, next slide, please, thank you, was to provide a new way to look at our program. We to give an overview a little bit of our program, we were the largest region in the state. So we cover 8 counties, which encompass about 370-plus facilities. At the time we did this, we had 10 paid full-time ombudsmen, and we had 80-plus volunteers. And so we really felt we needed to use this tool as a way to look at our program. Many of the folks who have been with our program, working full-time with our program, had been with our program for a long time. And so we used this tool as a new way to look at it with fresh eyes, and we thought that was something that we owed our residents, was to improve upon things that we could do to better serve them. As mentioned earlier, we identified areas of the program for improvement and determined how we could address those areas. So ultimately, we wanted to use the tool as a way to really identify the areas that we weren't doing well or that we could improve upon. And again, looking at it with fresh eyes gave us this opportunity to figure out what we could gain by looking at where we weren't really meeting the needs, not only of the residents, but maybe the consumers that were calling upon us to assist in selecting a care community, et cetera. We also wanted to be able to identify the strengths. I think it's good to be a champion of the program and to point out to folks who are so dedicated to doing this work what they're doing well. And actually, we were sort of surprised by the amount of things that were identified using this tool that we were doing so well. It really gave us an opportunity to tease out a lot of the different things that we had implemented in the past and highlight those things that we had really built upon and then identify then how we could strengthen those areas even more. Next slide, please. Because of the size of our program, it was interesting because we used, at the time when we did this, we used the full self-evaluation tool. The mini tool was not something that was available at that time. And as Robin had indicated earlier, it is somewhat daunting to look at initially completing the evaluation tool. So we systematically developed how we were going to develop this and come up with some consensus. So in the initial evaluation process, we divided our teams into two different groups. We have an assisted living team and we have a nursing home team, so we mixed the ombudsman who specialize in the different homes into different groups as well as our volunteer coordinator. So we've divided into two groups. Each group had a facilitator, somebody who would initiate the conversation and try to help move conversation along if it got stuck. And we encouraged communication using a format similar to learning circles, as that's something that all of our ombudsmen are fairly familiar with, and it really allows everybody to be able to provide input. The overall goal for each group discussion was to reach consensus on each indicator, and we did rate every indicator individually. So it was really a mission of the groups to try to come up with some sort of consensus. But when there wasn't consensus or when there was a lot of discussion trying to come to consensus, the facilitators took notes about what those indicators were and what the conversations were surrounding those different conversations. So after we completed that entire evaluation between the two groups, we ended up pulling the group back together as one. So we had all 10 paid staff ombudsmen in one room to go over all of the indicators. And so this included the program manager, the team supervisors, who are also the facilitators, and the volunteer coordinator. And so we all sat down as a group with them and talked about the different ratings that we had given each indicator, and then tried to come up with even more of a group consensus as the entire group came back together. The program manager ultimately is the one, and it was a different person when we did this evaluation than myself, but she's the one that ultimately reviewed all the indicators and wrote the narratives for each of the components, and identified some action plans to be put into place based on what the evaluation tool showed us. Next slide, please. Not surprising, the strengths of the tool are very similar to what Victor had indicated. So I don't know that the strengths or the reasons for using the tool are going to be different between local programs and state long-term care programs. So what it did is it really heightened the awareness of some of the provisions and the responsibilities that not only fall under the Older Americans Act, but also policies for our state. Why we all read those initially when we're hired on, I think it's oftentimes easy to forget some of those pieces. Ombudsmen are so independent, outdoing what they're doing. I think it's easy to forget sometimes the policies that come along with that and the things that we really need to be paying attention to in order to meet our own program responsibilities. So it really heightened awareness of our own policies and made us go back and reread a lot of those policies and procedures to ensure we were, one, interpreting them correctly and then applying them correctly. The tool also allows, as Victor had stated, for a lot of flexibility. So while we use the comprehensive evaluation tool as a whole, you could certainly just select components. Where this also helped us was to allow each ombudsman to see how their activity directly affected the program. So if they were out and investigating a complaint that might be contradictory to what some of the policies outline, this helped bring awareness back to how each individual has a responsibility to ensuring the program is moving forward and doing so under the provisions and program responsibilities that are laid out in the Older Americans Act as well as by the state. Next slide, please. Benefits of the tool, it provided an overall awareness of areas we needed to improve and develop. This also helped, I think, re-energize the program. It gave ombudsmen a new sense of direction. Again, some of them have been doing it so long, you lose sight of some of the larger goals. And so it helped us gain an awareness in the areas that we needed to improve upon and provide the teams with some team goals, things to work towards. It also helped us identify areas where systemic change would be needed. And sometimes that wasn't just something looking at, say, larger corporations and how we could affect change just in long-term care, but also how we needed to help implement systemic change with outside agencies that assist us in doing investigations like Adult Protective Services, et cetera, how we could improve upon those systems in order to get some systemic change. The tool can be used as a resource to document growth. And so when we have those narratives that were written out when we did the initial evaluation, that's actually a document, a tool that we can go back and look at and see if what we've developed is working or if we need to go back and redevelop some of those things or fine-tune some of those things. And due to the evaluation, we created and implemented different tools to assess and grow the program, and I think this is where we really ended up doing a lot of our work, was in developing some of the different tools that we now have to make sure that we are on track with what the evaluation tool showed us we needed to improve upon. Next slide, please. So lessons learned. After the evaluation, we implemented the following changes, and this is what I was speaking about earlier. We implemented quite a few tools, not all of them are listed here, but the program fact sheet, and this is just sort of a piece of paper that we've developed and has been approved by my organization to hand out when we're doing trainings. We did it when we were going to be doing some work with the media to ensure that they knew what our program really did. We also developed a case review. We also developed case review team meetings. Before we would have team meetings, but we weren't specifically looking at case reviews. And so we have those on a monthly basis, and in those meetings, we look at things that we need to be working on with regards to getting some NORS consistency, also to make sure we're in compliance with what the state mandates that we capture in documentation. And it improved our training process, especially for new hires. It allowed us to identify areas that we weren't really necessarily training effectively in when we brought new ombudsmen in. It also provided us the opportunity to create a case audit checklist, and this is a list that we go through and look at individual cases of team members on a monthly basis and make sure, again, that we're in compliance with some of those things that are outlined that we're required to do. But also, we've continued to build on this checklist to improve it, to include even more things, like are we addressing systemic issues when we're seeing them in facilities? Are we accurately capturing in the overview, you know, what the concerns are, what the complaints are, those sorts of things we have built upon using that tool. The tool is only beneficial if you go back and review what was identified. So if you do the evaluation but you're not really going back to look at what it is that was identified and ensuring that you're working towards addressing some of those concerns that maybe the tool helped you identify, then the tool is really not going to be serving its purpose. It's also only going to be effective if it's used on an ongoing basis, not just a one-time event. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go back and do the whole evaluation tool again. You can go back and look at individual components and have teams rate themselves again and see if that score has improved. Programs also have to be open to seeing what they are lacking. As ombudsmen, I think we're really good at pointing out to entities that we serve what they're doing wrong, but we have to be able and willing to look at how we can improve and areas in which we're lacking, and this tool is very beneficial in doing that.
Great. Thank you so much, Shannon. To mute your line, and we'll have a chance to ask Shannon some questions and Victor and Robin at the end of this webinar, but to mute your line, you can hit *6. And this is Amity again, and I'd like to move on to the next part of our webinar where we discuss the mini tool that we've created. As our previous speakers mentioned, the original self-evaluation tool is an excellent, comprehensive instrument to conduct a self-assessment of your program. However, as was alluded to, due to the in-depth nature of the tool, the length of the tool may be intimidating the first time you look at it. Therefore, we created a mini tool to enhance the usability of the self-evaluation process. The mini tool is a condensed version of the original self-evaluation tool. It allows the user to conduct a quick initial assessment of their program in order to identify their program's strengths and weaknesses, and then use the comprehensive tool for a more detailed evaluation. Similar to the original tool, we created two versions of the mini tool, one for state ombudsman and the other for local ombudsman. Both state and local ombudsman can use the mini tool in a variety of ways. For example, the state or local ombudsman could review the mini tool independently or as a team, as Victor and Shannon both mentioned. So the state ombudsman could review it with their state staff in the office, depending on the structure of the program, or with local ombudsman, or even including some volunteer ombudsman in the process. The mini tools could also serve as a brief review and introduction of the core elements of an ombudsman program for new state and local ombudsmen. New ombudsmen could review the mini tool with their mentor, if they're a state ombudsman, or with their supervisor. So, for example, if the state office is within a state unit on aging, the state ombudsman could review this with their state unit on aging director. Or for local ombudsmen, they could review it with their state ombudsman, or even their AAA director, if that is how their program is structured. So how do you use the mini tool? Well, the mini tool is actually composed of the exact same 13 components and draws from the same indicators used in the original self-evaluation tool. However, since it's a compressed version, we only used 3 indicators per component. We chose indicators that we hoped would either create an aha moment for the user, as they realize they do not have that element in their program or need to enhance that element, or would entice the user to using the original tool for a more thorough evaluation to find out more of what that element actually should entail. The rating scale and process is the same as the original tool, so I won't get into that. But you'll notice on the next slide that we've added page numbers at the end of each component so the user can go directly to the corresponding component on the comprehensive tool for further evaluation. So this is a snapshot of one of the components for the local version of the mini tool. We have a PDF version and an Excel version of the mini tool. So for this PDF version, you can print out the version from our website and circle the rating and tally your score for each of the 13 components. As you can see in the box with the total score is the page number for the corresponding component for the original self-evaluation tool. So for example, when you do this quick assessment, you could total your score and then go directly if you decide that that's the lowest rating component in your immediate assessment, or if it's just something that interests you, you can go directly to the comprehensive tool directly for that page number, in this case, page 11 for program access. And this is a snapshot of the same component, but in the Excel version. We created the Excel version based on an excellent idea from an ombudsman on the Self-Evaluation Tools Committee, as she requested the ability for the form to automatically add and total the scores. As you enter your rating for each indicator in that column, the form will add your total for each component, hopefully making the process even easier for you. So what do you do after you use the mini tool? Well, using the mini tool, like we said before, allows the ombudsman to quickly assess the core components of their program and identify areas for improvement. One way to move forward with in-depth analysis would be to choose one component, perhaps the one with the lowest score, and analyze it further using a comprehensive tool. Since the mini tool is a compressed version of the original tool, it may lend itself to easier use for quick assessments over time in order to see if your program has improved and identify those areas that still need further evaluation using the comprehensive tool. Because as we've mentioned over and over in this presentation, these tools are really not intended for a one-time self-assessment. Rather, they should be used over time for continuous improvement, as we know that all ombudsman programs are always seeking continuous improvement to better serve the residents and consumers that we serve. So that is a brief overview of the mini tools, and I want to thank Robin, Victor, and Shannon, because now we'll move on to the discussion portion of this webinar. If you have a question, please use the raise your hand feature on the webinar. Then we will call your name and ask that you unmute your line using *7 before asking your question, or use *7 before responding to a question. So I'm going to go ahead and open it up. Does anyone have a question? Okay, Robin, do you have a question?
I do. I don't know how to raise my hand.
That's fine. I can hear you just fine.
Okay. So, Victor, I have a question for you. I thought your idea of developing that one-page document that lists all the scores was absolutely fantastic. And so I wondered, did you or do you think that that could be put into a chart or a spreadsheet format that would document your scores over time?
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, yes. Robin, yes, no, great question. It can be and it should be developed into a one-page document, and these are my reasons. A one-page document will give you a historical trend for current and future staff. You don't need to be there. So, you know, people come, people go, and at least people who come in can take a look at the spreadsheet and understand where the program has been. It is also a basis for comparison in terms of where you are and where you are currently. To me, it is a quick report or summary of your performance. Any member of your staff can look at it and understand current performance. It can also generate questions from staff when they look at it from time to time. You know, it generates questions from them. So basically, I think a spreadsheet should be developed because, you know, it shows where you've been, where you are, and at any particular time, if you think you're not trending upwards, then you know why is it that you know we're trending downwards? You know, you can ask questions. But bottom line, it's about you know ownership of the process and the program improvement. Thank you.
Wow. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Victor and Robin. Okay, I actually have a question. This is Amity again. For Shannon, Victor mentioned that one of the benefits of using the tool was that it improved buy-in from staff as they all realized that they each have a stake in the performance of the program. Did using the tool at the local level do the same thing for your program? And did they realize the important role that they have in your program success?
Mrs. Shannon, can you hear me?
Yes.
It did. It was a really good way of reminding ourselves that what we're doing individually, especially out in the field all the time and not seeing each other often. So what we're all doing individually as ombudsman also directly affect the program overall, and it helped them have some buy-in in helping develop some of these different tools that we've been using to help improve upon some of those things. It helped remind them why some of these policies are important to always be cognizant of, and how consistency is a way to improve advocacy. And so as individuals, if we can become more consistent in the way in which we respond to complaints, the way in which we investigate complaints, the way in which we handle complaints as individuals improves then in the long run the program effectiveness. It was also a great way for team members, for any of the individual ombudsmen to help develop individual goals, not necessarily performance goals, but just individual personal goals in order to help improve upon the overall effectiveness of the program.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Shannon. Okay, I see a hand raised. Let's go to Linda. You can hit *7 to unmute.
Good afternoon. I'm Linda Pickett. I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And I have a question for any of the speakers. Because this tool covers so much information, after you completed the assessment process, what were the next steps for improvement or implementation? And secondly, how did you prioritize which areas you should work on first? Thank you.
Victor, Shannon, y'all want to take one of those or answer Linda's question?
Sure, Amity. Sorry, I was raising my
hand.
Okay.
No, that's fine.
I'm like, do I have to raise my hand?
Victor, do you want to go ahead or do you want me?
Yeah, go ahead, Shannon. I'll come and I'll see you.
Linda, to talk about, you're right, it's such a comprehensive evaluation. It's sort of like where do you start? What we did was we looked at some of the components that we identified as really needing to improve upon, and we identified 5 out of the 13 components that we really wanted to focus in on. And so after choosing 5, we chose 2 of those components to really take a look at what we could do to implement some different changes and different tools that we could develop. And so as a matter of prioritization, we not only looked at the components that we identified, we then narrowed it down to even, you know, fewer. So, again, choosing 2 of the 5 that we identified that we really wanted to look at. And some of the way we helped prioritize that was also looking at what the Older Americans Act as well as the state policies require. And those were sort of how we prioritized as a program things we wanted to look at improving upon first, and then sort of worked down from there as we developed tools and thought we had sort of done a good job at implementing some needed changes. Then we went down and looked at maybe the 3rd component that was identified or the 4th. And so we just sort of did it in real baby steps as opposed to being overwhelmed by such a huge amount of information coming at you at once.
Okay. Okay, this is Victor. We we selected about three, and to prioritize, you know, we simply looked at them in terms of, you know, are we fulfilling the mandates? You know, we looked at each one of them and see which one really impacts our advocacy, the mandate from AOA. And we also looked at them in terms of where can we have the least investment and yet achieve the greatest impact. You know, we, you know, if for instance, the volunteer services coordinator, we knew we needed to have justification, we needed to have, you know, the OMB needed to approve the hiring of that individual. So that was something that really, you know, that really took some time, and you were also looking at salary and benefits, you know. But then we also looked at, okay, what was it that we could do in-house, you know, we, you know, in terms of the least investment and yet, you know, come up with the greatest impact. So, you know, we looked at various scenarios. That was how we prioritized, you know, what we needed to do. Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Great questions. Okay. It looks like we have a question coming from Nancy. You can hit *7 to unmute your line.
Hi, everyone. This is a question really for either Shannon or for Victor. And I'm just wondering, since ombudsman programs have different program structures, do you think they'll need to adapt some of the ideas to their particular structure? For example, you know, some of us, like Victor and myself here in Connecticut, we have a more centralized model of a program, and some states are more decentralized. So do you think they'll have different challenges to implementing some of these ideas? And then, you know, how is the assessment tool applicable to any structure? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Nancy. The ideas are adaptable. Assessment tool is suitable to any structure, centralized or decentralized. A regional group or a local group, etc., can use it. However, it is important that those who are doing the advocacy work be involved in the assessment. And what do I mean by that is that someone at the central office, e.g. myself or yourself and our staff, should not do it without involving people in the field. So, you know, whereby, you know, we simply come up with the assessment, come up with the action items, and simply, you know, take it to the people in the field and say, go do it. Now, we need to involve, you know, yes, you know, it can be adaptable. Yes, you know, we can, you know, people in the central office can use it. People at the local office can use it. But, you know, I think it's very, very important for those who are really involved, those who are doing the work, to be able to get involved in doing it. It is not a top-down tool. It should be a down-up. It should include everybody who are involved in the program. But yet, any structure can use it. Thank you.
Amity?
Yes.
This is Robin. I just can't figure out how to raise my hand. I really apologize. But I was wondering if I could add something to that.
Mm-hmm.
It may be just a slightly different perspective. I think that not all the indicators will apply to all programs. So, you know, we know that some programs don't have local programs, for example. They just, you know, have a different structure. So one of my suggestions is, if something absolutely doesn't apply, is to think about skipping the indicators that don't apply. And to avoid perhaps you know, changing them or making them up completely on your own. And the reason I say that is because the indicators were developed based on you know, research and ombudsman best practices, as I noted earlier, and experience and knowledge, and they've been vetted. So if you change the indicator drastically, I mean, you're really kind of going into uncharted territory without the benefit of knowing that that indicator's been vetted, or, you know, without knowing that it's really had stemmed from solid ombudsman practice and research. So kind of a word of caution. And that being said, that does make me think that perhaps in a future iteration of the tool that some consideration should be given to the fact that there are centralized and decentralized programs.
Thank you, Robin. I'm really glad that you added that piece, and I think that that was a really important component to bring up. Good question, Nancy. All right, guys, I think we're going to have to close out our question and answer section and move on for the to the closing and review of our resources. But thank you for asking all these questions and for your excellent responses, Robin, Shannon, and Victor. So I wanted to share with you before we end today some resources and to let you know that in addition to the state and local versions of the mini tool that we've newly created, we also created briefs explaining the purpose of the self-evaluation tools, introducing the mini tools, and then providing additional resources for program effectiveness, quality, and management. The briefs are only 3 pages long, and they complement the tools and are intended to be used as a guide when you use the tools for the first time, especially if you are going to share this with team members, whether it's your state staff, local ombudsman, or volunteers. The brief would be a nice complement to that whenever you're sharing the tool with them and explaining the process. The brief, the recording of this webinar, the mini tools, and original tools will be available on our website after this webinar. And also, I wanted to call your attention to the links on this slide. There are a few, and you'll note that one is specifically for the tools. The others are for program effectiveness and quality, and then some resources on program management. So please visit our website and use those tools and resources. If you have any questions once you visit the website and you're looking for something and can't find it, please let us know and we'll help you. I cannot close out this webinar without extending our thanks and our appreciation for the thoughtful contributions and assistance from the state and local ombudsman that served on the Self-Evaluation Tool Committee. That includes Nancy Schaefer from Connecticut, State Ombudsman and Chair of the NASOP Program Effectiveness Committee, Victor, which we heard from today, Sarah Slocum from Michigan, State Ombudsman, Shannon Gimble, which we also heard from today, Frances Geis, a local ombudsman from Georgia, Debbie Lee, a local ombudsman from North Carolina, and Linda Pickett, which we heard from today on the line asking questions, a local ombudsman, and also a representative of NALCO. So thank you very much for your assistance in making this possible. And last but not least is our contact information and our website. If you have any questions when you use this tool, or even if you create some resources like Shannon and Victor did based on the results from your self-assessment of your program, please share them with us at the center, because we know that ombudsmen learn best from other ombudsmen, and we love to share best practices and highlight those within the program. The materials that Shannon mentioned and Victor mentioned of the tools they created, we will make those available on our website as well. So thank you very much for joining us today, and have a nice rest of your day. Take care.
Thank you. Please stand by.